Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Marcia, Dr. Cappuccino, and I welcome you once again to the Dr. Cappuccino Show. We have a show designed that's really going to have people thinking, wow, how have I been living my life? I mean, what have I been doing? Decades have passed, you know, and I thought I was all this. I thought I was all that. You know, I thought I was powerful. I thought I was someone that really had everything going on. And guess what? I didn't. I found out through so many other avenues that I was wrong about marriage. I was wrong about how to raise my children. I was wrong about how to go about acting on my job. I was wrong about even trying to learn how to drive a car. So what happened? What in the world happened? Well, since this is a season to be triumphant, especially December, for millions of people that honor a creator, guess what? Not only can you be triumphant, and you've got to learn how to do it, but you've got to look at the changes that you can achieve. And I know you probably heard this in college, you probably heard it throughout your school years, that you are somebody. And if you're not somebody, you better try to realize that you are one way or the other. But this is a season to be triumphant for the changes you can achieve. So what this show is about this morning is to help you forget your former fears, your disappointments. Forget the mistakes that you've made and the tears that you shed over spilt milk. And reach up and reach out for divine revelation. Now, don't hang up. Because this is not, you know, some soul doctors are going to be churchy. Whether it's churchy or not, you need to be triumphant, you know, either way you want to look at it. But there's a divine calling on your life that will endure for a lifetime. So let's get this straight. This season, this year, this moment, this second, right now, no more begging and no more crying for help and peace of mind that excels all your problems. Listen and learn this morning. And join the ranks of new overcomers. You want to be an overcomer? Give your overcomer your failure. And if you're over 10 years of age, you've already failed enough. It's time for you to get busy learning how to be triumphant. And I believe we have, I just see Colonel Harrison, Dr. William Harrison, has come on. Hi, Colonel Harrison. How are you this morning?
Hi, Dr. Cappuccino, listening to all this. I'm fine. All is well. Thank you. Thank you for asking, and thank you for inviting me to the talk show again.
Yay. I was hoping you'd be on the show because, you know, these topics demand someone that's thinking about how to help the world, thinking about how to be the best they can be in the world, thinking about how to achieve greatness so that others can say, ooh, I want to be great just like Colonel Harrison, just like Dr. Cappuccino. I want to be great. And you know what? You don't have to have a lot of money to be great. don't get that twisted. You don't have to be running around town day and night trying to, show off your shoes, your clothes, whoever you are. You don't have to do all that to be great and to be triumphant. But we're going to talk about some of these things that are with Colonel Harrison's blessing that will put us on the right track. So many people now, this time of the year, Colonel Harrison, they're very sad. You know, they feel they don't have what they need. You know, it's Christmas time. You know, they probably feel they don't have a lot of money in their pocket. They don't really have what they felt growing up that they were going to have. You know, many of us say, oh, when I grow up and be a doctor, when I grow up, I'm going to be a lawyer. When I grow up, yes, I think I'm going to be a Christian minister, a reverend. When I grow up, but my God, you know, after so many years, boom, they find themselves in their late teens coming out of senior high, and you know what? It just didn't happen. You know, what I thought was going to happen, it just didn't happen. And so now they're feeling, you know, since they think that they've missed the boat, here I am. I'm broke, busted, and disgusted. I'm sick. The doctor is hounding me with a prescription after prescription. Everything seems to be going all right. What in the world is happening? They felt, they thought, they prayed, they hoped. They had said, I'm going to be triumphant. I'm going to be somebody great. I'm going to be somebody big. Not knowing that every step they took was a step toward being a person that could influence others. And when a person is triumphant, it just means that, hey, they triumphed over evil. They triumphed over bad circumstances. They triumphed over evictions out of homes and loss of jobs. But now here I sit. I'm sad. I don't know what to do. I'm lost. Colonel, what can we tell people that are disappointed this time of the year, feeling lost, feeling like they haven't cut the mustard, so to speak? What can we say to these beautiful people who are suffering emotionally this time of the year?
I would say to the people that are suffering emotionally this time of the year, Dr. Capitina, is that we always have to have hope, have inspiration, have aspiration. And the way we keep hope, the way we get inspiration, the way we maintain aspiration is to tap into people who find value in us, tap into people who love us. There's someone that loves everyone, and the whole world is a stage, and it evolves, the past, the present, and the future. But everything has happened, will happen again, and that would happen again has already happened. So we are living in a world that evolves around the past, present, and future. And I say all of that to say this, is that there are people that love us, and if you haven't found them, you will. You will. You keep looking. You keep hoping. You keep trusting in yourself, and it goes back to if one values themselves. Brief example, and I'll pause. I remember years ago when I was coming up, I was a young lad and a young boy, and my parents didn't have a lot, and we lived on the other side of the railroad track, and people that live on the other side of the railroad track were somewhat underprivileged and didn't have a lot, and lived in a wood frame house and all of that. And I remember that. I remember the cold days and having to walk to school. I remember sometimes it was 7 of us. Mother had to alternate buying shoes for us. I would put cardboard in my inner soles so that my feet would not walk on the ground until such time as me to get something as simple as a pair of shoes. But I remember those days, and because my mother sure loved me, because she sure loved to the other 6 siblings of the family, it gave us hope, it gave us inspiration, it gave us encouragement to always think of ourselves as being somebody meaningful in this society, somebody that can contribute, because our mother loved us, now we love ourselves, and we can also love others. So we have to find a way to rise above what our circumstances and situation is. If I need money, if I'm homeless, whatever it is, I can rise above that, but I have to tap into the right people, tap into the right sources and resources, and you rise above the feeling of despair. So I'll just pause for a moment.
Yeah, you know what, you said a mouthful, but I'm just going to take a little out there. You know, I get so nervous. I get all crazy inside when I hear you continue to use this word tap into. You know, if you're going to tell the honest, you know, you're going to have to tap into this when you're going to tap into that circumstance. You're going to tap into this. You've got to also, in that same paragraphical sentence, you've got to tell them how. Now, if I want somebody to tap into learning how to swim, then, of course, I'm going to tell them where to go. I'm going to tell them how they can get started. I'm going to tell them some of the gear. I'm gonna do a little bit more spawning, because then we're still gonna leave lost. You gotta tap into. Well, I don't know what that is. You know, I've been trying to be nice. Is that what it is? You know, I've been trying to make friends with the neighbor across the street. Is that what it is? You know, I've been trying to do this. So I get a little nervous. You know, I don't get, you know, kind of, you know, upset. But my God, you know, we're talking to hundreds and hundreds of people. So tapping into something, how do you tap into what you need to do? Because right now, and you said a mouthful, you said some great things, but right now people are still sad, they're hurting, they're hungry, they're homeless, but some kind of way they have a cell phone to listen into what we're talking about. So we don't want the man or woman laying on some cardboard on the sidewalk once 8:30 comes, you know, well then, okay, I heard something. But how do I do what I heard? You know, I'm laying here on the cardboard. someone, you know, a victim of domestic violence. You know, she's hurtling in a bedroom now. He's gone, or he's in the kitchen throwing pots and pans around, but she's listening to us on the radio. So I'm thinking, so how do they tap into? And I said the prior week that we were going to actually expound on that. If we're telling people what to do, I think we need to tell them how to actually do it. And I know the great sage, when he said, you know, go ye therefore, he had already trained those people. He had already been with them a little over 3 years. He had already walked with them, washed their feet. He had done it all. So he left a model there for them to follow him. He was going away. So there was not going to be any more time to sit up there and say, okay, turn left, turn right, put your pants on this way. Yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, don't eat this, eat kosher, yeah, da, da. He left them a model, and he said, I'm going to my father. So that meant that he was not going to be in their presence every day, you know, so they could see how he looked at his right hand, how he put his head to the right side or something like that. He was not going to be there to actually do any more teaching that. He said, I'm going to leave the spirit. Now, the spirit was left to guide, but he left the example. So I think we want to set the example, and we are doing that for people to actually say, you know what, I want to be like Colonel Harrison because he showed me how to, yeah, yeah, yeah. I really want to listen more to Dr. Capitino because, you know, people say, you know, I love to hear talk. I like a voice, but, hey, I want to be somewhat like that. How can I do that? You know, I see around town, okay, how can I be like that? So I think we want to leave an example. But now this triumphant life, if these people are not on a road to want to be led, to live and have a triumphal life, they're going to fail. What are some of the consequences of people that are not living a triumphant life? What happens to them? And that's what this show is about. We're teaching and telling. Colonel Harrison, what makes for a triumphant life? What makes a person feel like they can soar to the moon without a spaceship because they're living a triumphant life?
What makes a triumphant life is finding out the source that is the essence of our existence. And that source is a divine power. So when I said tap in, I mean tap into a divine power, a power that's greater than man, greater than earth and all the things that we see therein on the earth that we enjoy. Yes, so I'm saying that there's a divine source that one has access. Go ahead, Dot.
Yes, how does a person, if you're telling the audience to tap in, how do, T-A-P, I know that's how you spell tap, how do you tap into this other power, this inner force to move you forward to be able to live a triumphant life? You know, if someone says, okay, well, now, you know, I don't want to be a failure. I want to triumph. What do I do? How do I do that? How do I do that? We don't want to leave any obscurities here. So one might say, well, number one, it might be a good idea to contact the local county officials. See what resources they have if you're homeless. See what resources is out there if you don't have food. See what resources are out there for higher education. I know here in our state of California, there's a lot of opportunity to go to school free. If you need clothing, there's places that donate suits for men so they can go on interviews even to get jobs. There's journeyman positions. Every time I look up, I'm being sent things from the county and city of Los Angeles saying, you know, come over here. You can learn how to get involved in plumbing and other types of skills that can help you in less amount of time, some 3 months, 6 months, 9 months. So I'm thinking that might be, and I don't know if that's what tapping into means, but I'm thinking that if we're giving people instruction, it better be clear and it better be crystal clear because people's lives are on the line. And here, I'm just going to, you know, move over into this homeless arena. There's about 60,000 to 90,000 laying around on the streets of L.A. in L.A. County. And there's, you know, people trying to go down and feed them and take them clothes, take them shoes. So, you know, I don't know if that is something that you might be referring to, the tapping into. I don't know. But these people have got to get to wherever they got to go so that they can take advantage of resources. And it's very interesting. You know, it's a lot of homeless people laying around, but they all got, the majority has cell phones, and they're on the cell phones. And so I think if you can give us a little bit more clarification on this tapping in, what do you mean when you say these the individual that want to be triumphant? You know, I'm tired of laying around. I'm tired of looking at others having things, and I know I can do it too. I can do it too. What do you mean when you say tap in? Is there, does that mean you are saying they should go somewhere? They should pray? What are you telling the audience when you tell them to tap into? And this is a very good subject here.
I'm saying that the tap-in source I'm speaking of is through prayer, through the medium of prayer. Access the divine source is greater than mankind through a medium called prayer. Prayer is just simply having a conversation with a divine source that we physically can't see but does exist, is responsible for creating everything that has been created, whether one wants to believe it or not. And so once we connect with that divine source, and a part of that divine source is in every human being born of a woman, then we have access to that divine source, and we can find not only direction in life, we not only find happiness, we not only find inspiration, aspiration, but we can find hope, and we can find encouragement, and we can find joy.
Okay, that sounds great. Oh, wow, that sounds great. You know, I already know we're going to have some of the listening audience. They're going to be calling, they're going to be sending these emails. Okay, now, if I'm laying on the sidewalk, and I'm cold and shivering, full of disease, I don't think I'm going to pray. I think what I should have done before I got into that position was pray not to get in there. So I'm a little confused, and I probably think the audience is going to be confused too, because now if I didn't got in that shape, and I all of a sudden in that shape decide, well, it's time to pray, then there's something wrong with that scenario. And I don't know who's teaching that. I don't know what's happening. I don't know if that's why it's 90,000 plus just in one state, one city rather, is laying out. If I've lost my job, and then I'm said, okay, well, I'm going to pray. I should have prayed before I lost the job. I should have prayed, oh, Lord, or whatever, you know, help me keep my job, you know, help me get up, help my car to run. I don't know if I'm going to wait until then and then pray. I don't know if I got 6 or 7 kids facing an eviction. I got to be out in the morning with nowhere to go. I don't know if I'm going to stop and pray. In fact, I don't even think I'm going to want to pray, because what I should have been doing is pray to the Creator or whomsoever, you know, these people got all these gods and stuff. Pray to the Creator, the one who calls himself the maker of heaven and earth. I'm going to start praying then. I'm not going to wait till the water is cut off and then start praying. I'm going to pray, Lord, send some money in here. You know, send somebody to bring some case of water here because the water's off. You know, I lost my job. I'm not going to wait until then, because chances are I'm one step from death. I'm one step from doom. Why in the world would I want to start praying, laying out on a piece of cardboard? So I'm thinking, if people are in the shape they're in, and they want to be triumphant out of their circumstances, he says, "Come to me while I may be found." So I'm not saying that once you know, laying out there maybe with you know, people assaulting you, raping you, and all of this, you're gonna start praying. He said, "Come to me, seek me. Seek my face while I may be found." So I'm not going to wait until I'm thrown out of a house or I'm kicked out of anything. Hey, I'm going to be on my job then. And people know when things are not right. That's an opportunity then to seek out. Now, you might, if you're in your house and you got a 30-day notice to get out of there, okay, start praying. Lord, I've got roof over my head now. I've got some clean clothes on. Okay, now, here I am. Here I am, Lord. Send me. Send me the help. Send me this. Send me that. Send me that. And then that person is able, with a dollar's worth of gas in his car, to get somewhere to do something. You know, people normally say when somebody gets down on their luck, oh, why didn't you call me? Why didn't you come to me before you got into shape? Why didn't you ask for help before this and that? Why? Nobody want to hear all of that. So we're talking about this right now, Christmas season, to be triumphant. People are happy, and they're giving people things, and they have food banks are open, giving people turkeys and hams. There's a lot going on out there. But since this is the season to be triumphant, I'm kind of thinking that maybe, and you were onto something there when you were talking. I think if I'm going to pray, I'm going to start praying before the floodwaters break. I'm going to start praying before my husband walks out the door and leave me with all these kids. You know, I don't have anything. That's what I think I'm going to actually do. You know what? And then I'm going to be working in conjunction with my prayer. My daddy always said, if you're going to pray, make sure you have a heart ready to pray. You know, this, you know, just getting up with your mind's eye, you know, okay, God, give me this, give me this, give me that. But your heart has got to be connected, because God says what leads in. Here I go, here we're not talking about God. Hey, you guys, don't hang out. This isn't about, you know, any religious. But he said, God said, you know, like what leads the heart reaches the heart. So it is the heart element. But I don't think I'm going to wait until, you know, I'm walking down the street in second-degree weather, and then all of a sudden I'm going to start praying. You know what? I better get to the Creator, if that's where you're coming from. I better get to him while it is day, while there can be someone that can come and knock on that door and help you out. But we aren't even talking about that. This show, you know, we have all kind of people on here. We have homeless people listening. We have politicians listening. So I want to make it valuable for people on all sorts. We're not talking about being down on our luck in this triumphant season. We're talking about people that might need to make some resolutions. You know, every year they make these New Year resolutions. You know, I should have saw my mother more. I should have helped my daddy more. I should have went to church more. You know, I should have spent time with my sister more. Now she got cancer. You know, I should have helped my grandchildren more. That's living toward living a triumphant life. What can I do to help someone else? And I tell you, an older lady told me, said, if you find yourself without anything you need something, go in your closet, go down the street and give a dress away. See if you got a dollar. Go in there and put it in an envelope. Do something, find something to do, because the more you give, the more you're going to get. So a triumphant life, number one, is giving all of you to someone else that might be in need. A triumphant life is making up your mind that when 2020 comes, the hound you were in 2019, you know you were a hound. You are not going to have hound-like traits in 2020. People that you hurt, you're going to say, I'm sorry. Pick up the phone and say, I'm sorry. Living a triumphant life is meaning if you know somebody is struggling and you got more of life means, then you get over there with a ham. You get to them with a turkey. Call them up and see if they need anything. Say, I know you might be mad. Hallelujah. I'm sorry, but I have you on my mind. What can I do? What help do you need? Living a triumphant life is mirroring someone that don't have so that you can continue to have. That's what I think. And since this is the season to lead that kind of life, now I'm getting over to the church community. Many churches are opening their doors up. There's about 25 churches. I got this information. I know I sent it on our bulletin. L.A., Los Angeles City County has, and I don't know if this is a good word to use, Colonel, because you love it, tapped into. The city has tapped into, meaning they've gone to these people, and they made arrangements for them to open their churches up from 8 to 8. And they have the porta potties and the parking lots and homeless people. I started this thing 5 years ago, Pews of Mercy, pews, and I showed the church is empty and the pews are there, and I showed people laying outside the church. So it took 4 or 5 years for them to say, you know what, Dr. Cappuccino was on to something. So now the Pews of Mercy is started here in the city of Los Angeles. And at night, these people can come in, lay on the pew. They can't come in there with food, you know, urinating all the place. You know, they have facility for that. But the churches now, there's, and many are opening up every day, and they have this, you know, deacons or elders or whatever they call them, you know, spending the night, taking turns spending the night, you know, see if they need anything, if they're sick, they call the ambulance. But the Pews of Mercy is live and well here in our state. And one church had 100 beds. One church had 50. So what I'm saying is that we sent this bulletin out about two or 3 weeks ago. So this is church in action. Then we had the councilmen interviewing the pastors saying, you know, do they think this is a way out? And some of the pastors said, yeah, but it's only temporary. So some of the churches that have closed down, they open back up now just with the pews of mercy. So, you know, to be triumphant, it also means reaching out when you know you need that help. People are available. People will help if you are sincere. People will be at your beck and call. But, Pastor, is this pews of mercy, is this something you considered at your church?
Yes, the pews of mercy is an excellent concept. Dr. Capitino, it provides a refuge and shelter, temporary shelter for those who are in need. And one thing I would like to see city officials and town and state officials consider supporting, providing grant funding for churches that provide this kind of advocacy for homeless people or abandoned people or people who are battered and abused. Because they at least have some place where they can come and get out of the elements of the weather and so forth and refresh themselves. So the Pews of Mercy, I support that. We have some semblance of the Pews of Mercy, but we need the politicians, the city and state and county politicians, to get involved in supporting this through some type of subsidy, grant funding, so that the churches that are probably having a lower population in terms of attendance can use the church in another humanitarian way in that regard. And it costs money to run the utilities, the lights, the gas, and air conditioning, all those things. So and provide some food as well as shelter. So that's an excellent concept.
Yeah, that's a concept. But then, you know, you have the Constitution, First Amendment, Second Amendment, that talks about church, state, in collusion. So I don't know if that would work, because then you have, there's over 200 and some odd different religions. So if they start giving money to the church to open it up, the church is supposed to be something that Jesus instituted to help those, not by money. So if the church is open and they got a problem, I don't know how much it would cost them for their utilities, you know, people coming in there at night sleeping. You know, you got the church there, those women there that are not working or doing anything positively during the day, they could run on down to the church and maybe clean it up free. Nobody has to pay them to do that. If they're running anything at all there, why should the state pay a church, which is a nonprofit entity, Holy Ghost help me, to open their door up to homeless people? Those people in those churches should be able to volunteer their time to help those less fortunate. That is what they're supposed to be about. Instead of just opening the door up there, standing up there trying to preach, tell them something, they should be God-like or creator-like or whatever it is in an action. I'm against that. I don't think they need a grant to pay for food, utilities, this and this and that. I don't think so. Now that puts this in a whole arena of what the church really is about. It kind of opens up, you know, the garnership on why they are in existence. I don't think the church needs to be paid or have some kind of grant to help them. And then if the Christian church get a grant, here comes this other religion. Oh, yeah, you won't give us a grant. You won't do that. No. He said from your heart. So I'm thinking, since this is the season to be triumphant, let's put it in its context. The apostle said, silver and gold have I not, but what I do have, that's what I'm going to give. So they got the churches half empty. They standing under lock and iron bars through the week and through the night. I'm against that. Hey, y'all, you guys, Christian ministers or whoever you are, open them churches up. Follow Dr. Copertino's and the City of L.A. Pews of Mercy admonition. Thank you so much, Colonel Harrison, for being on. Thank you, guys. Come back next week. You're going to hear a lot. God bless you all. And guess what? Have a happy holiday season. See you next week on the Dr. Copertino Show.